Hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president. Welcome to The Jump Off, where we take a big leap into everything leadership and NAHU.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another session of the President's Podcast. This time is a little bit special because we're on location in Phoenix at the U-Powered Symposium, where we have a ton of incredible thought leaders, and we managed to snag one. Eugene, do you want to introduce our guest today?
Well, yeah, I'm going to introduce our guest, which probably hardly needs an introduction, but David Smith is our guest today, and we're excited to have David with us. And David thought it was important enough to be here in Phoenix, and we thought, hey, let's grab him while he's here. So, David, welcome to Phoenix, and welcome to the Jump Off Podcast, where we're going to jump off into some conversations about NAHU, NAHU membership models, and going to talk some about leadership and your history and your engagement. How's it going today, David?
It's going great. Glad to be in Phoenix. Glad to be somewhere where it's not warm, not cold. It's kind of perfect.
Right.
And with a bunch of people that I think have interesting ideas that are certainly worth being challenged and certainly worth listening and learning from. So it's nice to be in an environment to do both of those things.
Well, and yeah, I just want to add, I mean, we're here at the U-Powered Symposium, and it's a great group of leaders. I hate to use the word thought leaders because that's kind of trite. And some people think it's people who just bloviate, but it's an exciting group of people here. You've really done a good job of bringing in people, a lot of NAHU members, and I'd say as NAHU president, a lot of prospective NAHU members. Mm-hmm. And I really want to applaud and recognize, and this is something that Dave and I have talked about, is as NAHU leadership, we need to recognize our members and champion our members who are helping to redefine our industry. And that's something that you and Dave are doing. You're doing it here at the U-Powered Conference. And so I know from conversations with David, it was important for us to be here and be a part of it. So,
yeah, I mean, I think ultimately events like this indicate and really support the idea that what we do as an association and what we can do for our profession and our clients is vital. And honestly, it's one of those things where I wish we could all get in the room and realize that we're not all, you know, blind disciples of one approach or another, that there's lots to be learned from each other. And ultimately, the place that we're missing out by not being together and stronger is in Washington. I mean, I think there are people in Washington who need to hear all these perspectives because they don't get it. They don't understand it. And I think the more we shift who we are as association towards representing the interest, not only of our profession, because we're going to do that, but ultimately the people that we speak the loudest for are our clients. Our clients don't have anybody in Washington who actually speaks for them. We understand it. We know it. So that's why, for me, the opportunity to be here and explain to people why being a member of NAHU is far more important than anything else is important.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I want to give a shout out to NAHU because, you know, we created this space so that people could come together and be in an environment that's completely inclusive. You don't need a specific credentialing or designation to come here and to work with each other. And I would say out of all the organizations that are available to consultants, NAHU is and always has been the most inclusive, the most affordable, the most accessible. And it's probably the only organization, to David Smith's point, that takes that message to Washington. There's no other organization in our space that does that. And it's indicative of NAHU's success because there's so many of us here.
Exactly. Well, you know, when I think of the way we work in this space and something that David said that I think is really important, we're, you know, as we're recording this, we're a few weeks away from Capitol Conference. Probably when this airs, it'll be right around Capitol Conference. But as we prepare to go there, we're certainly going to have these legislative talking points. But to David's point, when we're in these conversations, I think it's important to have the conversations with our senators and representatives that talks about how we're putting healthcare together, how we're trying to deliver healthcare more affordably and create more access, which is what they're purporting to try to do in DC, but we're trying to eliminate all the administrative hurdles and barriers, where it seems like coming from Washington, D.C., it throws up more and more. So you're right, David. I mean, I think we're the only ones that can really tell them what it's like at the, you know, street level where people are trying to access healthcare.
My whole thought about the way our position ought to be is that we represent the people who actually pay for healthcare in America, and everybody else wants our money. We're the ones paying for it. And at one level, the carriers are nothing more than money changers. The providers want our money in different ways and everything else. And it's our responsibility to help our clients figure out the best way to pay for healthcare. And so when we go to Washington, I mean, one of the things from yesterday about what Maryland's done in terms of the all-payer billing, how all these things get at things we've heard Ganya talk about with the idea of, you know, we need to attack the cost of healthcare as much as access, because undermining affordability is ultimately getting at a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about in this conference. And so we've really got to explain it to them, because once they realize that's our expertise, I think we're even more important to the political discussion.
You know, I had a good discussion here yesterday, and I'm curious to get your guys' opinion, especially because, you know, our association offers so much education, right? But I was having a discussion here on site, and someone who's not as familiar with the healthcare system said, it just seems so complicated. You uncover one thing, and then there's another, and another, and another. And it feels like there's this never-ending revelation process before you can even start to implement the fixes. It takes so long to understand the problem. But I think we're doing a pretty good job, especially with some of the new certification courses we have coming out that David Smith's been involved in as well, that are helping people, especially our members, better understand what that's like for the consumer.
So to your point, it's very complex. And the interesting thing is one of our team members from Acuity Group is here, Nicole Vincent, and her husband's with her. And we were sitting down yesterday having a drink and a snack, and he says it, you know, he looks at us and says, it's so complicated, I don't even know how to access my healthcare. So here he is, married to one of the smartest young ladies in our industry, that's helping us put together these complex benefit plans that we do. And when I say complex, I mean we're putting in these components like direct primary care and reference-based pricing and script sourcing, and all those are sort of industry terms, and they're tools to help save the plan and the member dollars. But bottom line, it's still complex. And as you and I were talking before we went on air, Emma, we're trying to introduce some technology and tools that can make it as easy as sending a text for you to get an explanation of how your benefits work, mm-hmm. you know, that you can show to the doctor so that there's understanding, real-time understanding. So it is complex.
Well, and I'd love to hear David's perspective on this too. Like, how do you take something that's so convoluted and complicated and break it down into a certification course you can teach someone in as simple terms as possible? Because the people that you teach through the certification courses, we're responsible for advising people who are even less experienced in this space than we are.
Well, in teaching classes for NHU for a long time, it's not unlike what we do in our day jobs, right? A lot of what we do is we take really complex stuff and we try to make it understandable for people. And I think one of the real issues that we run into is that we feel like we always know a lot, but then we learn something and we integrate it in. And I feel like there's a lot of things, even and listening to the great course you had yesterday, think about what David Mordo did with the pharmacy certification course and how there's so much stuff to be learned that it's hard to teach. It's hard to make it so that even people who are smart in our business really get it. And then you think about then translating that down one more time. Like, one of the things we've done this year is really commit to our open enrollment presentations, recognizing we have multiple generations of people who are listening. Mm-hmm. So we've got to talk to each of them in the same presentation in a way they all understand. But even basic things like, here is an EOB, here's what your EOB is going to look like. Here's what it means. Here's what you do with it. All the access and the ways to improve their ability to use the system, because healthcare literacy is a big deal. And I just think it's very hard to take complex topics and make them easy and understandable. But I agree that what we do is more vital to most of our clients than they ever really realize. I think our profession has evolved so much in the last 10 years that we become, frankly, probably as important as CPAs and attorneys in really explaining stuff to them. I talked to a CPA on Friday about tax provision that lets small employers have 100% deduction of their healthcare cost. And he's like, I've never heard of that. And I'm like, dude, here's where it is.
Right.
And I was like, I feel like sometimes I'm even educating people that ought to know. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, we have CPAs that specialize in tax accounting and stuff like that. But the complexity of this business now is really TPAs need to start specializing in the employee benefits arena, particularly the healthcare arena, because all of the stuff coming out of DC just in the CARES Act. Yeah.
CARES Act. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of information there that has tax consequences for employers, and we're the ones learning it and telling CPAs about it. It's complex, but we've got to bring not just the members along that we're trying to educate, but we're actually got to bring along attorneys and CPAs and stuff for them to understand how to help their clients.
You know, Eugene, that's kind of a perfect segue, right? Because we should talk a little bit about the dynamic we have here, but in the industry too. We have a bunch of new folks just stepping in and coming at this from a completely new perspective compared to what we have, having been doing this for a while. But I'm also finding that we have different specialties coming in. It's people like accountants and with HR background that are shifting more and more to benefits. And we have a lot more of that diversity in our offices now. So one thing I wanted to ask David about was the agency dues membership and membership in general, too. But there is a way for us to get people more access to this certifications, to the professional development. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea really started with the realization that a lot of people didn't have all of their employees who are NHU members. And one level, that's because the way the dues have been set up and the fact that people didn't really feel like they had to have everybody in. And I think ultimately, even as an association, we've been poorly selling what we do. So the agency dues model approach that was approved by the House of Delegates last year and that the board's largely now implemented will basically say to an agency like mine, hey, rather than trying to figure out who the 18 people you want to be members are, you've got 70. So why don't you just realize that membership in NHU is an investment? You know, what you give us for membership is really empowering us to go and do what we need to do in Washington, go and do what we need to do in the state capitals, go and deliver high quality programs and professional development and all the other things that we need to, and stop worrying about the fact that, you know, you've only got 8 people who are in when you ought to have 18 or 20. So simplifying the billing, simplifying the membership, but ultimately just saying to those agency owners, hey, enough with the, all right, well, this person's left. No. I'm just going to give them $2,000 a month. And like all my employees are in, and now I'm investing what NHU can do. And I think that that mentality is very important. We've kind of almost sold, in my opinion, membership wrong for years. Yes. And this is the chance to really transform the message. And honestly, it's going to help us in a lot of ways. I think it brings some financial stability. But I think the other things that I see in it are we get more people who can contribute to HUPAC. And HUPAC's an important aspect of our ability to reach out and at least have valued conversations. But to me, I think about all the people that I know who are great leaders today, who probably learned more in leadership by being the leader of a local chapter and having to deal with all the insane politics that go on with that, but also trying to just accomplish something. And so you think about those people who are in their mid-20s that need to have that kind of separate leadership experience. Well, now they can do it. And we don't have to worry about the fact that, oh, well, you're not really a producer and I really don't want to pay for membership for you. Nope. Now I got a chance for them to learn leadership while I'm investing in what NHU can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love that. And we put a lot of thought into creating this model. And it was exactly that. And you know, and within my own agency, we've got a compliance department. You know, it's like, well, my head of compliance isn't a member of NHU. So can I give him my login to look at what NAHU is saying about, I don't know, ACA compliance? That's old, but you know what I mean? And it was just a stupid model, right? It was lacking in what we're supposed to do, and that is deliver value to the members. And we were putting up barriers. We were talking about barriers in the healthcare system. The way we were structuring our membership model, we were creating barriers. And we were particularly withholding tools, resources, and leadership opportunities, engagement opportunities for these young people who are coming into the industry. All the old guys like me, we've had the membership for 20 years. You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to pass on my membership to somebody else. Mm-hmm. We had to restructure that. And by doing this, it gets to one of the points we talked about earlier, the complexity of trying to build education modules to talk about pharmacy, talk about hospital pricing, those kind of things. It's complex, but you know, we create understanding not just by going through the certification program, but by being engaged, mm-hmm. being together at Capital Conference, being together at convention, being together at important conferences like the UPower Conference, where we're bringing people together. And yes, we're sitting through a formal education class, but then we have the time to collaborate. Under our old model, we just kept these people on the sideline watching the game, mm-hmm. rather than having them in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think about so many people who are such great leaders today because of being involved. And I want to see that perpetuated. But I think one of the things about changing this dues model, changing the financial model of how NHU is run, is going to allow us to do what I was talking about earlier, which is really then promote the idea that as America's benefit specialists, that we as an association speak on behalf of the people who buy healthcare in America, and we pay for it. And so therefore, as the representatives of the payers, we're the voice of reason on some of these issues. And that's going to require things like PR. It's going to require us to be seen as voices of influence in the public debate on things. And we can only do that once we've kind of built up the financial stability to be out and go out and invest $1 million in saying to someone, tell us how to best position us so that when we're having a discussion about things like cost transparency, that we can sit there and bring an expert to the table who can explain in 5 minutes, where Emma can do that in front of a camera and explain to somebody in 5 minutes why it's important for everybody to know what healthcare costs and why it's incumbent on the hospitals and the doctors to do that. I think all those are things that you think about the progression of getting to where we can be. The financial stability is a part of it, but it's also the vision and the ability to carry it forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Emma knows and David knows, y'all both been a part of this. We put together a very robust, complex, but actionable strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And all these things we're talking about are part of that strategic plan. And of course, we can't accomplish everything overnight, but we're systematically working toward that. So touching on that, we could talk about this forever, but I know people won't listen forever. So you know, I want to bring this conversation in for a landing now. David, you've been involved with NHU over the years. You've served in a number of key roles. One of the biggest ones was as chair of membership. And really, with your leadership and with Ashley's leadership, y'all have reinvented the membership model, all right? Just like Emma has done for leadership development. We have totally reinvented that model. That was a pivotal change we needed to make. Mm-hmm. We started to understand the needs of our client, which is our member, and they needed the opportunities to learn and become better leaders. So Dave, you've served in all of these key roles, but I'm gonna be a little gratuitous here and say, I think you're gonna step up to try to serve in another key role. So tell us what commitment you've made.
I've decided I'm gonna run for secretary, which puts me on the progression of being president NHU one day. hopefully by the time I'm president, we'll actually be America's benefit specialist. And when I stop and think about the whys, I've probably been asked for the better part of 10 years to do this. And I haven't, in large part because I saw so many other great people around to do it. And Alicia Riedel, who y'all had here, I guess, in the last couple, 3 weeks, called me up in the summer and it's like, all right, so I'm tired of you talking other people into doing it. You need to do this and stop dodging it. And so made the decision to do that and feel good about it in large part because I guess for years I've felt like there was a vision and I feel like there's a great group of people who are committed to a vision of not what we are or what we have been, but really what we ought to be and what we can be. And I just decided I wanted to be a part of that in terms of the execution. We have so many amazing people with so many things to build off of, but the opportunity to grow and be better is about ultimately the having the right message and the right ability to carry it forward. If I had any real ultimate wish, it would be, and has made this comment years ago, that I wish our leadership reflected our membership, because I'm so glad to have Alicia and Susan in front of me. And I'd love to have a whole series of great women I know behind me, because that really is a reflection of the people who've done the work in this association. And for me, the idea of promoting it and making it real is as important as anything else I can do.
I think you're not going to have any trouble finding anyone that's going to be willing to campaign for you, anyone that's going to endorse you. I think you might have to turn some people away. My question for you is, are you going to have colorful campaign ribbons?
No.
No.
You know, one of the things that I think leadership contests are very important. I think about the race we had last year, and it was actually a great race between two people who I believe each brought a slightly different perspective to it, but neither one of them were bad for the association. We've had really interesting races. And, you know, again, in the kind of joke, not joke stage, David Morton and I talked about both running for secretary so we could tell people why they ought to vote for the other. But I think ultimately what we're doing is we're impressing upon people that being leaders is not just like being seventh grade class president. It's ultimately about making change. And I think Eugene's a great example of somebody who the theory of success in a position like this is that every year you're on the executive committee, you're planting seeds. And so sometimes you're reaping the seeds when you're president that your predecessors planted, or that really was fast growing that your successors have planted. And so every year we've got to keep planting seeds and we've got to keep working together, because your 1 year as president is not your 1 year as president. It is the time that you spend there to start working together collaboratively with the other people on the executive committee, with the boards that you're working with the committees, and saying, hey, what can we do? Because it's never about the cult of personality. I think one of the distinct changes that's happened within the leadership of our association in the last 3 years has been being president isn't about being president. Mm-hmm. It's about what the association can be. And you've seen that, Pat, Dane, you look at Kelly, Eric, you look at Alicia, you look at Susan, all people who believe that what we're working on now is not about our year as president. It's about what anybody can do. And I think that's a really important transformative change to who we are as an association.
You know, it sounds to me like you've been taking in some of the Leadership Academy modules, particularly succession planning. But that's a great point, right? That's what we talk about, is that we, in order to change anything, we have to be able to see who's going to be taking over. Like, your vision has to match the person that comes in behind you in some sense in order for it to.
Yeah, or it helps to reshape the vision. And this, you know, will sound self-aggrandizing or whatever, but David is right. And Emma, I think we see it, quite frankly, in your engagement. We see it in the engagement of so many younger people who've gotten involved because they realize this isn't a good old boys club or a good old girls club. It's not a stay. This is the way we've always done it. And really about 3 years ago, Pat Griffey, you know, was president when COVID hit and took over the world. And I said to so many people, everyone is failing to appreciate the change that Pat Griffey ushered in,
mm-hmm.
because she did it through COVID, but she did it by personal relationships and really helping to reset the thinking and the engagement and the way we support one another.
And the planning process and really forcing that issue through and saying in San Diego, we're going to start this. And if people aren't on board with it, get out of the room. And I think that's the kind of thinking about the future, not in the sense of we've got a plan. Well, we have a plan. We've got real goals and objectives and a way to get it carried out.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very fortunate because twice now I've been the chair of a major committee within NHU. And my intention both years going into it was to blow it up, to completely change how they did it. And then I was fortunate both times to have Ashley Kapostens follow me so that she could kind of just make everybody's feelings feel better about the fact that everything just got broken. But it is that succession planning idea. And I look at professional development over the last 7 years. And it's funny, the year I was chair, I could tell you who was going to be chair for the next 4 years. And you involve all four of those chairs or future chairs in your planning and your process, things get done. And of those four people, and then the one to follow the fourth one, Stephanie Berger, Susan Ryder, Jill Patterson, Karen Kirkpatrick, Ashley. And all of them are continuing to do really important things for the association. I'm excited that Johnny Rentz is going to follow Ashley as membership council chair. I'm excited that Keith Wallace is going to follow Johnny. And I mean, I think when you stop and think about what we can do, what we ought to do, it's all about that planning ahead. And as much as your ego doesn't need to be stroked, you taking leadership of that committee changed everything. It was funny, I have my monthly call with my mentee on the first Friday of each month. And we were both laughing because I was in Dallas 2 weeks ago and she had come out and, you know, hung out with me and some of the folks I work with while I was in Dallas. And then she was leaving the next day to go to Austin to their state legislative event. And she had posted a picture of us on Facebook. And she said to me Friday, she's like, I don't think I really appreciated the fact that you were who you were because you never told me who you were. But she said, ever since I posted that picture, like I suddenly realized you're like this person who has done a bunch of stuff, but that didn't matter to me and you. And the fact that we were fortunate enough to get put together has been really good for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't agree politically about much. And it's Jennifer Stanley, who's now the president of the Dallas chapter. And she's also on Ledge Council, but again, a great person who's going to be a leader of this association. And I think that's the kind of stuff we're doing. We're also out there looking for what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got to keep going. We got to keep doing that.
Yeah, we do. And speaking of keep going, we got to get going. We've been talking a long time, but I want to just say that I'm so excited. The vision that you're sharing, the vision that Emma's sharing, the vision that Jennifer's sharing. It really is contagious. And I see more energy, more excitement, more engagement than we've seen. Because David, you and I have been in this a long time. And we've seen it ebb and flow. And we've seen very low engagement where a few people seem to be driving everything. And now it seems to be opening up more and more for people to step up. And that's what we wanted to create with the new membership model, the agency membership model. And that's what we wanted to create with our goals and our visions and our new focus on how to be engaged leaders with NAHU. So I'm excited. I appreciate you spending time with us today. I appreciate your commitment to run for secretary. Nominations aren't closed yet, I don't think. So just full disclosure, if anybody else wants to run for secretary, David already said, we're up. We're always up for a good fight, a good run for secretary like we had last year. And we, the association, are the winners when good leaders compete to be leaders in this organization. So, Emma, thank you because you're doing some amazing work. We're excited to be here at the U-Powered Conference and excited to see what new energy that's going to create, certainly for our profession and hopefully also for NAHU.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. NAHU was a sponsor of the event. I feel very supported and I'm very grateful, David, that you took some time out from our learning schedule and talking with us today.
Thank you all for having me.